Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans, after many absences.
That's right. We haven't seen you. You've been playing hooky.
Yeah, well, there was medical procedures and there was holidays here.
Right.
And then there was a personal holiday. I was in Miami.
Yay.
My birthday. Yeah.
Right.
So then here now.
At least somebody's going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No. 2 weeks before. Did see some action around it, but yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've been carrying on.
Yeah, I know. I've been watching.
Yeah,
Patrick is dutifully coming in for me.
Yeah. Right. We went from a 70
usual style.
And we went from a 70-degree day to snowflakes within 24 hours.
Yeah, well, now it's going to be 50 tomorrow and then deep plunge on Friday. So it's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is January 14th, 2020, which it's taken me a little getting used to writing 2020.
20, I know, it always does that
or
first
typing,
month.
But actually, yeah. You know, sometimes when it went through, you go from like 2018 to 2019, I'm still in the last century, you know, it's easy to kind of forget,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you write a check.
Yeah.
But there's something kind of easy about 2020. Yeah, just, you know.
That's a good point. Is that what you call, no, it's not a palindrome. What is it? It's nothing. It's just 2020.
It's just
easy. You can reverse it.
Yeah, and it's just easy to do, yeah. So I think I'm going to write my checks correctly so they won't bounce.
Yeah. I mean, the last time was what, 1919? How does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm the math guy. I guess I'm
1818?
Yeah.
It'll be 2121. Right. I won't be around.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be every organization in creation is going to make references to their 2020 vision for the future.
Well, but 2020 is also the presidential election year, so I think it's hard to not get away from that.
That's true enough. It's true enough.
Oof.
Now, with a new year,
mm-hmm.
right, here on
we have everything
here,
new.
Not only is it a presidential election year, which is as national as it gets,
yeah.
But here locally, you know, we did
have
an election.
We have a new city council.
We have
a
new city council.
Somewhat new.
Mm-hmm. Right.
New mayor.
Know, 7/9 old and 2/9 new.
Yeah, and new vice mayor.
And new mayor.
You went over that last week, too, because
You
went to the, I wasn't here, but you went to
went
the
to
inauguration.
The inaugural. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the first actual regular business meeting of Cambridge City Council
was last night.
Yeah. I was there for part of it.
I watched it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I think it's kind of an interesting phenomenon when you see the new, you see the people who've been on the council for a while trying to assert dominance, right? Like, I'm going to be a player this time. The new people who are a little.
Well, for a while, I mean, just one term, second term. I mean, I don't know. Some of the oldest members of the council did not really say a whole lot.
Yeah, but
except for Denise.
But I could, I think I could give you some historical precedence of people. One term
all
is enough to make somebody feel
entitled.
Really feel their
all
rights.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Here
that's
we go.
All it takes.
All right.
So there's a little bit of sort of
feeling
each other out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like any new group getting together, whether, and this is psychology
people
101, it's like it takes a while to gel, figure out who's what.
Yeah.
There's some
be careful with your words, but not too careful because you have to show that you're assertive and a real mover shaker too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just sort of watching the little bit of the drama take place. I still find it interesting. The new mayor, Siddiqui, actually, it was, you know, as in all new mayors who've never chaired before, there's always a little bit of, they're always a little timid, a little hesitant, a little careful, whatever, that's to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
On balance, I thought she handled herself well.
She was
courteous.
The
most important thing for a mayor, actually, is to be courteous to the other members of the council.
I think.
You know, give them the right time. You know, defer to them whenever. And as I remember Alice Wolfe used to do, and I've quoted this practice in the past, if you're in the mayor and you're up at the rostrum, and you really want to make a point fervently, hand the gavel to somebody else and take a counselor's seat. That's actually the better way to do it.
How often does that happen?
Alice Wolfe used to do it regularly. There were some other counselors over the years who would do that.
Hmm.
You know, it's sort of like saying, like, I'm not going to be, you know,
dictating you from the high. I'm going to be part of this.
Yeah. You know, it's sort of the height of arrogance of a mayor to sort of use that position just to make really loud, screaming speeches. Much better if you really want to make a point.
Yeah.
Just step down from the podium.
Yeah.
Hand the gavel and do it the right way. So,
hmm.
But for the most part, the mayor really sort of
sets a tone.
Sets a tone. And I thought she set a pretty good tone.
Yeah. I mean, for the first, Yeah. And she's also chair, she'd already chaired her first school committee.
Oh, the school committee,
like, last week.
And there was actually a communication from the mayor.
I saw that. That was unusual, wasn't it?
I think the previous mayor actually did that
initially,
too, but I don't know if the practice was maintained, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's a sort of a good idea.
It is,
you know, and I don't know, you know, there is a sort of point of view that under the planning charter, the school committee's business and the council business are completely separate, except when it comes to the budget.
Except then they shouldn't have a member of the city council sit as the chair of the school committee.
Yeah.
To me, that's... Yeah. Already you're saying there's a relationship.
Well, I think the relationship is supposed to be via the mayor. The mayor is supposed to be the conduit.
Well, that's what she was doing when she presented the minutes, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could do a link. I think it'd be important to do some kind of link to, because most people don't pay attention or they're not going to go to the school committee site to get what happened. It might be nice to have a link, even if it's in her, which I assume she'll do weekly, her newsletter, like... A lot of them do.
Well, the outgoing city council in their very last meeting on December 16th passed some policy order that was specifically saying this is what we think you ought to do as far as budgeting for the school department, you know, in terms of funding certain initiatives and whatever, you know, which is, you know, in years gone by, you wouldn't have even heard anything like that because that would have, if I was on the school committee, I would have viewed that as sort of stepping on my turf.
But weren't there two city councilors that voted against the school budget? It was Craig Kelly and
you know
Clinton,
that,
maybe?
And it's not the first time we've gone through that sort of dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of getting a feeling that we're heading toward more of that kind of dynamic.
Paying more attention.
Yeah. Again, it's really only the budgetary matters where they can really effectively
have some
do
input.
It. So I think with there's these budget retreats, I think there's one happening
tonight.
Right,
which is not, the public I don't think is invited
at all.
There's
a public one that's happening on a Saturday.
Okay, so this one is like almost like going into executive session. Is that what
it
is? Yeah,
so I think is it this coming Saturday or the following will be a public one.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they're all public meetings. Anybody could show up.
Why do they call this one a retreat when it's in town?
You know, I have always been curious.
It's right there.
Yeah.
It's at the high school.
You know, city council has had retreats.
Yeah, but they actually physically go away somewhere, don't they?
Yeah, but you know, it's always...
Well, not go away, but they have it. It's not on the night of the school. It's not on the night of their meeting.
Right. But when a city council has a retreat, they sometimes do it at some hotel. And I guess technically it's a public meeting, but it's almost like they're going out of their way to go to be out of the way.
But wait a minute. I don't think retreats are public meetings.
You know, that's a curious thing. Because
it's an executive session, and as it should be. Why should the public be invited to their deliberations?
Because there is no deliberations at a retreat. I mean, it's supposed to sort of facilitate sort of
goals?
Getting them to work together.
I'm sorry. I think that should be done as a group. The public can pipe in afterwards.
Well,
that's
in terms of
feeling.
Goal setting, I thought maybe they would want to hear the public.
I'm sure they get it every day in their emails.
I'm sure.
You know,
I've just found it to be sort of curiosity.
I don't know. All right, so
we're going to do a retreat.
We'll find out whether the one to
Now, I know
it's not being video recorded, so that to me tells you something right
there. That's true. That's
so then, there would be public there? I don't know. Maybe that's
I don't know.
We'll find out. We'll get the
answer. There were some items of interest of substance. But, you know, honestly, for a first meeting, you're lucky if you even get more than three or four city council orders because certainly the new people aren't
few,
so eager.
Right.
And, you know, they're still sort of feeling things out a little bit. So I think there was only about four of them.
The one that was most turned into
a bit of a contentious moment. Mm-hmm. It was interesting, kind of almost like a signal about the tone for the future meetings and the future council.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So basically the thrust of the order was, it was just simple. It was saying that the last year in the spring, city council passed
a
tree moratorium. I think they did in late February.
Well, the report was supposed to be in June, so wasn't it a 6 month? I don't know, something like
that. Right,
so
the thing is, since we were waiting to get a report from this Urban Forest Master Plan Task Force. They said, well, pending that, let's impose this moratorium on the cutting of trees.
Right, for a year. Right?
For a year, yeah. And, you know, and it was very contentious at the time.
Yes.
And then the report was supposed to be due in June. Apparently, it didn't get prepared until much later.
December, they got
so,
it.
So now they're saying, well, rather than actually hustle up and
because we have to discuss the report or something? Or?
Yeah. That they want instead, because I think they're going to have some meeting of the Health and Environment Committee next week.
Well, that's the was that scheduled anyway? Yeah, it was scheduled anyway.
I didn't see it on the schedule, but it has been scheduled. And so they'll do that. But the thing is that it's doubtful that they're actually going to come up with some amendments to the overall ordinance about tree protection.
Well, right now I thought it was just about
so they're just buying time now. The order was just to extend the deadline, right? Or the effective date of the moratorium to the end of the calendar year.
Right.
Right.
So it would be adding another more than 6 months, 7 months.
So it's
instead of March, it would be
the greater part of a year to it. So, and you know, there's a little bit one could make the case that that's a little bit of a breach of faith because this was supposed to be just a temporary moratorium.
For emergencies.
Right. Well, they work it out, but then they kind of rolled it in, put another like 8 months on it, and I think there's kind of they're implying that, well, this shouldn't simply be extended indefinitely. They really got to, you know.
Well, I think Mark brought up the point, which I think was that they have no data from DPW about how they see it going and what there was some talk, and I guess I should have paid more attention about something about 300 requests to put to remove trees and how many were accepted.
But you know, today I was seeing maybe on some social media platform somebody was saying how they worked something out with a neighbor about the removal of a tree because somebody wanted to put up some solar panels, whatever.
Oh, wait, I saw that as a comment from an article. So what did...
And then apparently...
No, it was denied.
And it was denied.
I know.
Yeah.
So,
so
that plus also something about they're not allowed to go on private property, the city or something. So how do you have to pay for an inspector to see if the tree is dead?
Yeah. So
no, that should be up to the city. If before you could do it without involving the city, without a moratorium, then you could do it. And then, but now if you have to get permission, why should you have to pay to get the permission?
I think you have to pay to have the arborist make the determination whether something meets the criteria of either.
But why do we pay for an inspectional service person to come if I don't know, do you pay when for Airbnb, like for them to inspect your house?
If you need a certificate of occupancy.
You pay really? Did they do pay? Or you have to register, but I don't think they pay the inspectional service, do you?
You pay a fee for most of these things.
You do?
Even like I own a triple decker and I have to have an inspection every 5 years or something like that. I forget what the actual term is.
You pay the city for the inspection.
And then they say you got to fork over $100 to have them.
So there's always a fee involved for them, for you to get a permit for something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even I have to pay for the inspection even, you know.
Okay.
So anyway, that's the way it works. So anyway, it was kind of a contentious, contentious argument, I think.
Yeah.
You kind of see in some of the people lining up sides of the issue.
Yeah.
I mean, my own personal preference is I would love to see a city council this term who thinks practically, who actually is sensitive to actual human beings and
They're not just being
ideologues about things. And you know, and I've always felt in terms of something like tree removals, if you have a reasonable case, and in other words, it's not necessarily a dire emergency, but if you have a very reasonable case.
Well, the one about the solar panels.
Yeah.
Where the parties agreed they were going to replace it with a different kind of tree.
Exactly.
They had the money to do it, I guess, but then it was denied. So that to me seems crazy.
A future ordinance should allow reasonable people to do reasonable things.
But what I heard also from Patty Nolan, it should no longer exempt affordable housing, city-owned property, all that.
You know, that was actually during that overlay discussion last year.
Well, that
was one of the
too.
Arguments people were making. They say, you know, in fact, you know, one could argue that people use trees as kind of like a lever, you know, saying we oppose the overlay because of the effect on trees, as opposed to we just think it's not good planning.
Right.
But you have to use trees sort of as the criteria.
Not the whole thing, but
yeah,
but depends on.
But you know, there are exemptions for public housing or affordable housing.
But also just for city-owned property itself, and I guess
The bearing the burden of this ordinance was really left on private homeowners, and a lot of people feel that's misplaced, but. I mean, there's a place for you. Don't want to have somebody clear. If you have a large yard with 12 magnificent trees, you don't want to have people just clear cutting, you know, in order.
That's a big yard if you have 12.
I mean, I know I'm overstating.
You're talking about.
You know. But listen, I got a tiny yard, but I've got three trees.
Isn't one of them being used by me? By Eversource or something?
One is being used as a utility pole.
Yeah, haven't you gotten that resolved?
My
gosh.
No.
That's crazy.
Neversource, yeah. It's never finished.
So could
Eversource never finished.
Could you ask for that tree to be cut down?
I think that if I made the case, maybe I would get the approval, but I think it more than likely they would just demand that it get pruned back and take a leader off or whatever.
Right, but why are they using your tree? Is it your tree?
Yeah.
Well, then they should be paying you.
Well, I mean... Apparently, it's not my tree because if it was my tree, I could do what I want.
Well, that's true. It's not your tree.
So apparently, it's Quentin Zondervan's tree.
All right. Okay. Then he should deal with Eversource for you.
I think actually Quentin Zondervan should pay the fees. Actually, I think that would be my modest proposal.
Because you don't want to take it down.
No, I think.
Oh, wait. Don't you have a tree that's in danger?
But he has great respect for arborists and trees, and I think he would be more than happy to fund them.
Yeah, well, but he doesn't want Eversource using your tree. I mean,
no,
it's because evil.
That's right. You know, I'm not unless the I have exclusively solar power.
You know, you need. There's a columnist in the Globe. I forget his name, Thomas Farrar, or whatever. Takes on these little human interest stories. I think that's a good one.
And maybe
he could take on Eversource for insane.
I just sort of think it's a handy thing to sort of point out some of the absurdity of some of the city policies. You know, it's sort of tough having a government run, or at least an elected body run by zealots sometimes, and you know, where they don't really necessarily look at things practically. And again, getting back to the original point, I'm kind of hopeful.
Yeah.
And I think I saw some indications that we actually may have some practicalists.
Yeah.
Peppered in amongst the ideologues.
Well, it's interesting on the vote to have it. What was the vote on the amendment? Well, something failed, and only Clinton.
So the thing it was Mark McGovern, Alana Mallon, and several others basically said it's a perfectly reasonable thing to actually refer this to the Health and Environment Committee to at least discuss the propriety of the length of the extension or whether there's any modifications that should be made even prior to the extension, even before.
But I thought it was already going to be going to the committee.
Well, see, that's where Councilman Zondervan got very slick, I have to say.
Yeah.
A question, you know, a person who's always normally was all for having process and whatever seemed to really be offended by the concept that you'd actually send this to the committee for further discussion because I want it now, right?
Well, what would be the alternative?
Anyway, he lost the vote.
Okay, so what if the vote had passed? What would that have meant? That it would go right to ordinance?
Not
ordinance. It just
They would have passed it to a second reading ordinance.
It would be
because it's not part of zoning, and
to amend, you'd have to amend the ordinance. It'd be an amendment,
to
lengthen the time.
Right, but that is in itself an ordinance too.
Okay, all
right. Right, so then he wanted to just pass it to a second reading
without
and then
a discussion
at the next regular meeting.
Okay,
or at least after the advertising requirement passes. Then it would just become ordained, and then the tree moratorium would be extended to the end of the calendar year.
So what I don't understand is if that report eventually did come out in December, it's January. Is it out there for people to read?
Yes.
That urban? Okay.
Yeah,
so is it already?
Well,
if it's out there, then why do you not have the March? Because does the report say we still have an emergency?
You know, maybe it's.
Have you read it?
Maybe, in contrast with our new, speedy Gonzalez mayor who made council committee appointments record time.
Yeah.
Apparently, the chair of the Health and Environment Committee feels that it may take a very long time in order to settle on the matter of the tree protection.
Who is the new chair?
Quentin Zondervan. So, you know, so in other words, if the tree, the big concern was, is that if the tree cutting moratorium would expire at the end of February or into March,
people would hurry
then,
up. And
then as soon as it expires, before they put something else in place, people would
quick, I see.
Cut run down out there trees, with an axe. Yeah.
Which some people are probably doing without you knowing, unless somebody reports you, right?
I think when there was even discussion about imposing a moratorium, yeah. I know personally people who actually went out and cut down trees. Because they said, they weren't bad faith actors. It's just that they said, I don't want to have to deal with all the hassle.
And also, to do it, also the ordinance, if you did do it, you had to have somebody professional do it. You couldn't do it yourself.
They put a lot of bureaucratic burden and cost.
Couldn't believe how much it costs in that one thing I read. $6,000 to remove a tree? Seriously?
I could have had a leader off of my ash tree.
Yeah.
They would have to bring in a big crane to do it. It would cost me about $4,000.
That's crazy.
If it didn't require the big crane that reaches over the house.
I see.
Like something in a Japanese horror movie from the 50s.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot less.
But I mean, I know personally someone who just, because he knows what he's doing with his saw.
He just goes up there. That ain't me.
It hasn't recently, but I'm just saying, just take off limbs and does it carefully and one's gotten hurt.
Yeah, do that. I mean, one interesting thing that I think is true, unless I mean, it's not like every homeowner should be required to read every detail of every ordinance. That seems a little burdensome. Yeah. But, trimming a tree, pruning a tree, even if that pruning required took half the tree away, I don't think that's a violation.
So you can still do that.
I think you could take off.
It's mainly, I think, cutting anything that's bigger than eight inches, cutting the whole tree down,
wiping
right?
the whole tree down. Yeah. But, if you were to take off a significant part of a tree, I don't think that's prohibited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a few people who are more than happy to take off like 3/4 of a tree, leaving just enough so that it'll die the rest of the way. Right.
Oh. No, but if it's really going to die, then you're going to be able to get it removed.
No, but the thing is, there used to be a rule I heard. Actually, it was a former city councilor told me that when you want to prune back a tree, you shouldn't be pruning back more than like a third.
Oh, so if you did more, then it will die.
Yeah, because then it wouldn't have enough means to support itself. Some trees are different than others.
Okay.
There's some trees you can cut them down to nothing, and they'll just pop
right
back.
That's true.
But not all trees are like that. So. Anyway, so that was the most contentious thing, and in the end, it was a 6-2-1 vote to refer it to for further discussion, right? And it was new councillor Jeevan Sabrina Wheeler and Quentin Zondervan were the two who didn't want any further public input.
I think that's going to be a duo we might see a lot.
I think so.
Maybe not.
This is the Our Revolution contingent. I think.
Is he really a representative of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But so is Patty endorsed.
Was,
and
yeah,
so is,
yeah.
you know, no, Symbol
right.
was not be good. But
So I mean,
we'll see.
Sort of shifting affiliations in there.
Yeah.
We'll sort of see how things shake out. But
So
anyway, that was the main stuff. As I mentioned, in past terms when a mayor was selected, even when a mayor was selected on Inauguration Day, as opposed to some of our fabulous delayed mayoral elections, the longest of which took over 1,000 ballots.
Wow.
This is back in the days of Mickey the Dude Sullivan.
Jeez.
So back then, it was, not even back then, but even in relatively recent years, mayors selected, it might take several weeks before they officially release the list, and then and they wouldn't even do it before the meeting itself. You had to wait till the end of the meeting, and then you'd have to go into the mayor's office, and then they'd hand you a copy of something on paper. To her amazing credit, Mayor Siddiqui, within 3 days, had everything done and published for public consumption.
She obviously did her homework and met with people. Because you meet with people. Yeah, you don't just assign people, do you?
All you really have to do is be able to listen to what people's preferences were.
Yeah.
And if somebody adamantly says, I definitely want to be on this, or I definitely don't want to be on this,
right.
or I would really like to chair, as long as it's not really serious competition, it doesn't have to take a long time. And there's no reason why to kind of have it dangling out there while you're trying to like.
Any surprises on the committee assignments?
I didn't think there was any surprises. The one thing that I kind of had my eye on, I still have my eye on, is the Government Operations Committee, and the reason for that is that, and we talked about in this program last week, is that We are now 1 year away from the expiration of the contract with the city manager.
Oh.
And what that means is during this year, the Government Operations Committee, by tradition, will initiate the process to look on whether to extend the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the notification date is sometime toward fall.
Okay.
Or whether they're going to desire to seek a different city manager.
Interesting.
With every additional more revolutionary type of person added to the council, the likelihood of them sort of trying to do a radical change in city administration increases.
But I don't see quite that much of a vote against that, especially with the new.
I could see maybe two, maybe three,
but not beyond that.
I mean, if I was a betting man today, I would say Louis DePasquale wishes to remain,
maybe he doesn't want to remain. We don't know that either.
We don't know. Right? But the thing is that would his successor, mm-hmm. in that case, be somebody within the city administration or somebody from outside? That becomes the issue.
Right.
And I really don't know. And if he does choose to remain, will that translate into basically every... I mean, there's a dynamic where city councilors say, well, I really would like this Mr. City Manager.
Mm-hmm.
And if a contract's coming up soon, the manager's more likely to go, maybe we should deliver the goods here because...
I think he's delivered a lot of things that people want, or at least he says he wants to do it.
I think so. I mean, Louis DePasquale is pretty good at sort of meeting people's needs. And whether that translates in the long term into escalating budgets, because if you try and make everybody happy, it doesn't come cheap.
That's right.
You know, so, I mean, that's something I'm going to personally be watching, is to see,
even
in the budget cycle, when the budget hearings arrive, budget will arrive late April, typically, and they'll have budget hearings in May. We'll see whether there's a bigger than expected increase in the city budget.
Yep.
And whether everybody's wish lists are being met from by Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Right.
So, quickly, when does the city council go over their goals and stuff for the year?
I don't know. You know, the thing is, it's sometimes irregular, but they will likely be coming up on that very
soon. Do we have a list of what the goals were last time?
Yep, they're posted.
All right, we'll look at that.
All right. Anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.
Bye.